Thank you for tuning in to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. At the end of the sermon, information will be given of our church's location, phone number, web address, and an opportunity to get this sermon in its entirety. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7, the word of God declares, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding." Now let's go to the sermon of the week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy. Be blessed.
He says, "But I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Can someone say there's life in the word? He said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." But he says, "But I am come that they might have life." Amen. Regardless of what the thief comes to do, the Lord reminds us that I've come for the opposite. And aren't you glad to know today that greater is he that's in us? That means that he that came to give life is greater than the one that came to give death. And we rest on that today. Now, I want to, just for a few minutes, cruise through this. But I want to highlight something very critical. And I know that it's not just that you can perhaps turn the switch on and turn it off very quickly, but understand that we make the choices that produce what we have in our life. Everybody in here right now is the product of the choices that you made before today. Amen. Amen. And you're here because of the choice that you made this morning. Amen. To come here. I know the Lord spoke to your heart, but you made the choice to hear him and to obey his voice. Amen. Tell your neighbor, "I'm a product of my choices." Now, it's powerful what the Lord does, what he says in the word, because what he says is, "I've set life choices and death choices in front of you." And then, like a good teacher, he gives you the answer. He says, opt for the life choices. Amen. And when you heard the sister testifying about sharing a paying tithe, I think is what she was saying. You know, I missed part of it coming in. But that's a life choice. That's a choice that's designed to prosper you or to push you forward. And any choice to do anything opposite of what God says is a death choice. And if you don't believe that, of course, I know that you do, but it's illustrated in the Word of God in Genesis chapter 2 when it talks about what Adam and Eve did in the garden. Now, God made us free moral agents. He gave us the freedom and the gift of choice. We can choose what we do every day of our life. That's why, you know, doing what we do in the house of God is so is such an interesting thing. Amen. There are no such things as easy or a very, what we call, pie jobs, as it were. Amen. That's all right. Don't be unnerved by the baby. The baby is doing what babies do. Amen. It's a normal thing. All right. I had one. My wife did. She had two. I know I was there, all right? And they cried. I mean, see, since y'all are distracted by the baby, let me tell a baby story. One day we were teaching Nicole. We were gonna break her into, you know, you train babies, right? So she was crying, and we said, no. And, you know, the deal was, if you pick them up every time they cry, then they'll know how to get you to pick them up. So we said, no, Jack, we know some stuff now. We got this parenting thing down. So we're going to let her cry. We put her up in the bedroom. We were in the bedroom. And so she started crying. And 3 hours later, she was still crying. And after we said, "The devil is a lie," we picked her up. So I know babies cry. I've experienced that. So she didn't lose. I don't know that we did either. But anyway, we couldn't hold out beyond 3 hours. So we do know that they cry. We thank God for the babies. And I always say, too, that adults would cry in church. if they wouldn't get embarrassed. Amen. They want to. They just cry in different ways. They just complain. Say, it's taking too long. It's too warm. It's too hot. But God has given us the freedom of choice. And Adam and Eve was given that choice in the garden. But he told them, he said, listen, you can eat from whatever tree you choose. Turn to Genesis real quick, chapter 2. And we can just peep in on that verse real quick. I know that you are astute, your Bible scholar. Just look at verse number 16. He said, and the Lord commanded the man. This is Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. He commanded man, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you mayest freely eat. Which means you got your choice of any tree that you want to choose to eat from. But he did give them a restriction in this discourse. He said, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He said, don't eat it, but look at what he said, but the day that you eat it, he said, don't do it, but the day you do it, you're going to die. Don't eat it. But when you do, it's over. Do you think God kind of knows what choices we're going to make? And that is sort of solving the debate over what we call unconditional predestination. God just simply knows. He doesn't make you do what you do. He just knows what you're going to do because he's omniscient. He knows the thoughts you have even before they enter your head. Amen. Then he knows what you're going to do with those thoughts. So it doesn't mean that you don't have the freedom to do it. He just knows what you're going to do. He know you're already planning. This is the thing I like about God. Is not only does he know the things that you do, he know why you did it. Amen. He know when you say, I didn't mean nothing, he's like, yeah, right. Oh, yes, you did. You planned that. You plotted it. You calculated it. You organized it, orchestrated it, and you did it. You can get away with that with us. But see, that's why the Bible said that man looketh on the outward appearance. But God looketh at the heart. He said he is the discerner of the intents of the heart, is what the word declares. So he knows us. But there's the ability that we have to make choices. So when you're scheming against your brother, he knows what you're up to. Tell your neighbor, God know what you're up to. He knows what you're up to. Amen. And so he gave them the ability to make the choice. And he said, I set before you these opportunities, and you got to make the choice on what you're going to do about it. And the Bible talks about the fact that there are a myriad of choices that we have to make during the course of our life. But I'm excited to say today that that it's a powerful thing that God has given us the ability through the word of God to make the decisions that brings honor and glory to him. We are empowered by God. We've been given the strength and the conviction by faith to make the choices that would bring glory to him. Amen. We know that the life is full of choices, however. Some are much larger than others. We talked about some of the smaller choices that we made, in terms of even the choice to come here. I'll say arguably smaller choices, but we might consider to be small the fact that we made the choice to come here today. Some of us will decide at some point, like you're doing right now, instead of listening to the word, you're making a choice on what you're going to eat, after you leave here today. Amen. And those are the not so larger choices that we make in our lives. Amen. Not only what we're going to eat, but we're also pondering right now where we're going to eat after service. Amen. And depending upon where we have chosen to eat while we're sitting in service, we're also navigating through the intricacies of the parking situation if it's a downtown location. All right. So we make choices that's not so, as large as other choices. But we know that choices, however, do impact our lives greatly. And that's why this text deals with the choice of life versus the choice of death. Now, the choices that we make, listen, are literally, shaping the lives of every person in this room. Amen? What we are a week from now or a month from now depends squarely and solely on the choices that you make today. Amen? The quality of our lives are the direct result of where and what we choose to do. There are general choices, we said, but then there are major choices that we make. We've got to grow to the place where God is in charge of our lives. In Luke, the Lord said this. He said, as it relates to how we drive our relationship with God, he says, "You call me Lord, but the problem that I have with you," in Luke 6:46, he says, "You call me Lord, but it's interesting that you don't do what I asked you to do." He said, "You can't simply butter me up with words, because I really know, as I've already said, the intent of your heart. If you really love God," as he said in John 14:15, he said, "you'll do what I say." Ask your neighbor to make the right choice. Amen. But listen, but God said, and listen, and whenever you're doing what God said, what you're doing, saints of God, is doing what the word declared. Amen. Now, isn't that a powerful way for all of us to live, to know that our choices from this point forward will be made according to the word of God? That we are committing ourselves to living according to what the word of God says. And guess what benefit we have when we choose to make, listen, decisions according to the word of God? Come on, look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, there's life in the word. So when you choose to make your choice according to the will of God, you're choosing to make a choice for life. That means we have set our course on one of prosperity, on one of, listen, being moved forward, and not one of death. The word declares this so clear. Remember, the Bible says in John chapter 1, turn there real quick. We were in 10. Turn to John chapter 1 real quickly just to make this case. And we're going to move pretty quickly from here forward as we close. In the beginning was the Word. You see that? And the Word was what? And the Word what? Was God. It said the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then look at what it said in verse 4. In him was what?
Life.
Can somebody say there's life in the Word?
Life.
It said, and that life was the light of men, and that light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He said this light, which is life that's in you, which is the word of God, it shines in the midst of darkness. So watch this, saints, no matter what darkness you ever face, when you are in Christ and he is in you, when you made a choice to serve God and that choice becomes the principle by which your life is lived, you are, walking with the ability to have light, emitted from your life no matter what darkness tried to overtake you. When sickness tried to overtake you, can somebody say there's life in the Word? That's what the Lord declares over our life. Now, one of the things I want to say to you as a further confirmation of the Lord's ability to bring light in the midst of darkness, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me just get right to this verse. Our time is quickly expiring. If you're there, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, when you're there, say amen. Don't ask me what verse, just say I'm there, chapter 10. Are you? All right, good. Now, turn, go over real quick to verse number 6. It says, now, verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, it says, now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Do you see that? It said, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink. And then what did he say? They rose up to play. Amen. That meant that we come to church and we partake in the meatier things of the word of God, which is Christ himself. And then we leave here having forgotten almost immediately what the Lord said to us. Can somebody say there's life in the word? Amen. So our hearts have to be when we come to church that we don't come here to be, listen, mesmerized by the messenger, but we want to be captivated by the message. We want the word, which is life, to become a part of who we are. Amen. It shouldn't matter to us what form is delivering to you the life or the word of God. All that should matter is that I'm hearing the word of God. Listen, if you never saw me again after this day, it shouldn't quench your thirst and desire for the life-giving word at all. Don't ever say, well, if he's not there, I'm not coming. Tell your neighbor, well, God's going to be there. Amen. Because listen, this place is not built on anybody's personality. Listen, this is God's house. This is God's church. This is God's word, and he is the life-giving source that we, listen, flock to when we rise early in the morning. Tell your neighbor, all I need is a word. Listen, and what the Lord says, he says, listen, don't be guilty of sitting down and meat. Now, that means we sit down to grapple with the weightier things of life. Amen. Not the things that children only, listen, can embrace. But it says we sit down to meet. They didn't say we sit down, to eat, and drink just milk. But this is a word where we sit down and we consume the weightier things. Amen. That we are reasoning together. Glory to God. And the reason why that's critical is because the choices we make will depend upon, watch this, the revelation that we have. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. I often tell people, from a natural standpoint or a secular standpoint, that the best decisions are made when you have the most information possible about the matter that you're making the decision about. Does that make sense? Huh? You can make a choice, listen, to go up to the corner of a store to grab a snack or something. But if you have information that is going to blow up just about the time you get there, tell your neighbor, I choose not to go in that store. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? The only difference is the level of information you have in order to make the choice that you're about to make. Listen, you're at an intersection. I would, pull out into the intersection right now, but I have some information. What is it, preacher? Here's a truck coming at 70 miles an hour. I think I'll stay still for a while. Tell your neighbor, information is important. And so what he says is, don't sit down to grapple with the important things and rise up and forget about what you just received at the table. Does that make sense? We came, we declare, come over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Listen, we don't want to just leave it having feasted on the Lord's best, huh? Listen, digested it and laid it down and never picked it up again to apply to our life. I was preaching last night on some things about Elijah, and what I said about Elijah was this. Elijah was one of the prophets that, that never wrote a thing in the word of God. Some stuff was written about him. See, there are a lot of prophets that wrote books. Amen. Elijah didn't write stuff. He just did stuff. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Elijah was more about this. It had nothing to do with talking about those that did. Thank God for all the prophets that wrote books. But Elijah's claim to fame is whenever you saw him, he was executing on the word. He wasn't writing it like some of us are taking notes right now. Some of us are saying, and we ain't going to do nothing with the notes once we finish writing. But I'm just saying that's how Elijah was. Elijah said, I'm not trying to write no book. I want to know what I'm going to do when I leave here. Tell your neighbor, I'm doing the word. That's what I'm going to do. And I better hurry and get out of here. We got to close. Maybe we get a chance to talk about this again. But let me tell you, what he's doing, saints of God, is saying that there is life in what the word has given us. And you continue reading through this. He says, don't let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day. This in 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. These are all the things that happened in the wilderness. Y'all remember that? I remember when he opened up the earth, they came down, they were acting a fool, built a calf, opened up the earth and swallowed up 23,000 folks. He said, y'all got a problem. Now, he had been walking with them and teaching them, and he just went up to talk with God. And by the time he came down, they had flipped. He said, y'all got a problem. And the Lord, the same God, the God of love, he opened up the earth and swallowed up 23,000 of them. That's what this text deals with. And then we know about the next text that he said. Remember when Moses was leading Israel through the wilderness and there was a cataclysmic scourge that developed in the wilderness where snakes started biting and devouring Israel. And he put his pole down. His pole turned to a serpent. He said, look on this snake and you'll live, is what the word says. Y'all being mighty quiet on the way it was said, but that's what the word said. If you read. He said, listen, verse number 10, he said, neither murmur, I've got to move, and neither, he says, ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. He says, now all these happened unto them for examples. Now, if they did it and didn't get away with it, just look at your neighbor. Don't say a word to them. Now, that's what the word said. The word said, now, if it happened to them for your example, he said, when they acted special, the earth swallowed them up. Yes. Now, he said, now, they didn't get away with it. Now, I know, and that's what I call a reprobate resolve. A reprobate resolve is that resolve that I'm going to be the first person in history to get away with murder. They even have a movie on now, a show on, that says how to get away with murder. Amen? No, you don't get away with sin. You have to repent. Amen? You have to repent. That's what the word says. You won't get away with murder. You have to repent. Does that make sense? All right, listen to what he says. Now, all these things happen as examples. It says, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world have come. Verse 12 says, wherefore, it says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. He said, if you think that you're standing on your own, because sometimes you can do stuff for so long, you think God is just overlooking your stuff. Nah, he said, no. You can get by with some stuff because his judgment may not be immediate, but I promise you, his judgment is sure. Amen. Can somebody still say there's life in the word?
Life in the word.
Amen. So verse 13, this is where I want to get to. He says, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And what I want to encourage saints, if we say that there's life in the word, you got to believe, saints of God, in this verse. You got to believe that what the word of God is saying is that there's nothing, one, to defy the lie of the devil. What you're going through is not, you're not the only one going through it. Amen. You're not the only somebody that's going through what you're going through. And sometimes the enemy will convince you that you're the only one being mistreated. Amen. Everybody's hating on me. Amen. So I'm just going to quit. Amen. You shouldn't ever quit. If there's life in the word, stay in the place that God has assigned you. Does that make sense? Amen. You believe. That's good words. I'm going to say, just wait on those. You got to live through some things. Amen. Just believe God. And see, what he says is, what you're going through, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to hear what the word is saying. Put that verse back on the screen real quick. He says, there's nothing that you're going through but stuff that's common. Amen. You're not the only one. So what you're all nervous about, what you're feeling down about, he said, guess what? A whole lot of folk going through this. Amen. Does that help anybody in here? That you're not the only one. Listen, the devil will tell you, no, listen, because you didn't get saved at 12 when I told you to get saved, you're going to be going through this for the rest of your life. The Bible says, look, everybody going through. So a whole lot of folk going through what you're going through right now. But the devil will tell you, no, child, it's just you. And this is why it's happening to you. Can somebody say the devil is a lie? Remember, he only comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Amen? And listen, and remember we said that your life right now is a result of the choices that you made. And the Bible is clear when it says that, because the Bible says this. He says, when you're buffeted for your own fault, or for your own choice, he said, just take it. Amen. Some of the position that we're in, is because of all the position that we're in is because of the choices that we made. I promise you, if you're broke right now, it's not because of the fact that God's not been good to you. You just made wrong choices in a lot of cases with the money that you had. Amen. Because it's not that God didn't pour money into your life. I challenge 8 o'clock service. What y'all do sometimes is go back and add up all the money you made for the last 5, 10 years. But then I said, now you better be careful with that, because now you're gonna start looking for where that money is. When you see, but just think about this. If you had a job, if you have, I know I don't have time to be doing this kind of stuff. If you had a job making $20,000 a year, well, let's say $30,000 a year, that may be more common perhaps. And in 10 years, you know, that's more than $250,000. Amen. So look around. Where is, tell your neighbor, show me the money. Show me. I mean, that's a whole lot. In 10 years, I mean, you only make $30,000 a year. That's 300 grand. Where is the money? Amen. It's the result of charging. You talking about I don't have gas? $300,000, what you did with it? Amen. We're the result of choices. But look at what the word says. The Bible says that everything you're going through is coming. Amen. We wanted to, let me move on. Put that verse back on the screen. He said, there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But watch the life that God put in this word. He said, but with every temptation, he said he's made a way out. Can somebody say there's life? In the word. This is what he says in that text. He said, there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man, but God is faithful. He says, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. First he says, anything that you go through, I've already prepared you to go through it. If I bring you to it, I'll take you through it, is what the word says. Amen. Do you see that? He said, God's faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able. Now listen, if we embrace the word of God, if we really believe what the word says, and what we'll know from this text right here is this, that anything that we encounter, God has already prepared us for this. Amen. That we're not here for the purpose of dying. God said, listen, in this life choice, I've already made or given you a way out of what you're facing right now. And look at what he says. He says, I won't allow you to be tempted above that you're able. And he says, and with the temptation, also he will make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. He said that whenever you come to it, your way through it has already been determined. Yeah. Amen. Did you hear what the word said? He said he has already made a way of escape. Can you tell your neighbor there's life in the word? Now watch this. Now listen, tell your neighbor you're coming out of this. I mean, so you don't have to listen to the hype. You don't have to listen to the lies. Remember, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But guess what? He can't do it against your life. He can't do it against you. If you are sick, guess what? God said, I've already made a way out. If you're broke, guess what? God said, I've already made a way out. If you're oppressed, the Lord said, I've already made a way out. Can somebody say there's life in the word? And so listen, what we've been challenged to do in the text today is this. I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. He said, choose life. That just simply means choose what the word has said about my life. If I'm approaching, if I'm facing a circumstance, if I'm facing a situation, if I'm facing a choice in my life, I have to choose according to Deuteronomy. Listen, the life that God has already embedded in the word. That's why I can get excited, because if I'm confronted with a physical malady in my life, I can just simply choose. I am not staying in this. I'm coming out of this. Why? Because the word said so. Amen. And that's what the word said. And because the Lord said that there is life in the word, I can believe it because he's already demonstrated it for me. Amen. There's nothing in the earth that Christ could not get through, including death. Tell your neighbor there's life in the word. Listen, the Bible declared this. He said that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. New Bethel Church of God in Christ, under the leadership of Pastor Tommy A. Murphy and First Lady Doris Murphy, is inviting you out to worship with their congregation at 1520 Little Rock Road, Charlotte, this Sunday for three dynamic services, 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and 12 noon. If you want to know more about New Bethel Church of God in Christ, go to our website, www.newbethelchurch.com. Also, if you were inspired by the sermon and wanting to obtain the message in its entirety, call us at 704-391-0365 and let your family, friends, and co-workers know about this podcast by simply logging on to www.praisecharlotte.com on your desktop, laptop, tablet, or smartphone, and listen to the Sermon of the Week. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7, the word of God declares, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all in your getting, get understanding.
God bless you, saints of God. This is Pastor Tommy Murphy. I look forward to seeing you there.